Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. As I was sitting there, I realized that we've been here one of the 2 weeks now. One of our 2 weeks is gone already. It's been nice to be with you and to get to know some of you better and to find out how much you love my brother Elliot. In fact, you love him so much you kind of make me a little bit jealous, but I thought you could do me one favor along that line. The next time he comes here, ask him if he's Carol's brother. And that would kind of even things up a little bit there. People are always asking me if I'm Elliot's brother, so maybe you could do the reverse. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I read this morning. You have the daily bread in there for the month of March. We didn't bring our choice gleaning, so we've been reading that. And you'll be reading this next month. But here's what it said, developed in the dark room. He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. God's purpose in saving us is not simply to keep us from going to hell, but that Christ may be formed in us, Galatians 4:19. The moment we accept him as our Savior, the process begins. From then on, God uses all of life's circumstances to make us conform to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. This is especially true of those dark periods of testing and trial. I had a friend who was a professional photographer. He told me that the hours he spent in the dark room made the difference between a mediocre picture and a superior one. The pictures were taken in his studio where the subject was indelibly impressed on the sensitive film. But that was just the beginning. The film then had to undergo the careful process of development, which required darkness, the right temperatures, special chemicals, and time. Only through this procedure could the impression on the film be brought out and printed. Similarly, at the moment of salvation, a permanent impression of the Savior is made in our heart. But it takes a lifetime with many trials and testing for his image to be developed in us. Let's thank God for the dark room that he uses to make us perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James chapter 1 and verse 4. As you remember, I told you on Tuesday that during the weeknights, we would be speaking on this first chapter of the first epistle of Ephesians. And I reminded you of the fact that these words that we find in this first epistle are really very special thoughts from the heart of God to you and I. Special thoughts of God for the Christian, for the one who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We realized, as we mentioned to you, that the church was formed or is formed here in this world. But the church was planned in eternity past, and it was planned for eternity future. We told you what Vance Havner said. Vance Havner said that you and I that are Christians are not earthbound individuals working our way to heaven. We're heavenly individuals working our way through this world. And it's a blessed thought that the Apostle Paul would seek to give us from this passage, the fact that you and I have our blessings, our heavenly blessings. We're not talking about the physical blessings, we're talking about spiritual blessings. And they're heavenly blessings in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places, it says, in Christ Jesus. And our desire for this message is that it might aim you in the right direction. It seems to me that too many people in the day in which we live are on the right road, but they're traveling in the wrong direction. I find that people in the things of God are so occupied with the physical that they forget all about the wonder of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. It reminded me of the man who was going the wrong way on a one-way street, and a policeman stopped him. He said, "Hey," said, "where do you think you're going?" He said, "I don't know, but wherever I'm going, I must be late because everyone else is coming back." You know, the scripture says the opposite of that, does it? Or the truth of that, if you and I are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, the scripture says, speaking, I believe, of the professing church, that wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, but narrow is the way that leadeth unto life eternal, and few there be that find it. The apostle Paul says, look, everyone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is going to go to heaven. But he said you can enjoy the trip. He said you can be optimistic about the blessings which are yours if you'll just enter into the thoughts which he's going to give us here in this first chapter of Ephesians. You know, when we look about today in the world, when you and I look about and we look at the problems in the world, we look at the war and the immorality and the crime and in our country the business slump. I understand you've been protected a little bit here from it, but there is a great business slump in America. You could become very optimistic or pessimistic, I should say, about the way things are. I was telling my wife a while back, I did hear about one man in our area that was optimistic. He went down to the county courthouse and he wanted to find out when his marriage license expired. He was rather optimistic. But for most of us, we tend to be pessimistic in the day in which you and I live. But we don't need to be as Christians. These verses say that you and I have no reason whatsoever to be pessimistic. That we should be very happy, optimistic Christians. We read this verse to you. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's not a prayer for blessing. It's rather an utterance of gratitude for that which has already been blessed. We are blessed, he says, with all spiritual blessings. This verse is perhaps the central verse of the book of Ephesians. It has been suggested that it is the bud from which the portion grows. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in the heavenlies. The little book seems to indicate that spirituality is an individual matter. Fellowship with God and obedience to His Word depend upon you and I individually. I've always been thankful as I studied the Word of God that although we come together as we do here, and we're encouraged to do that, corporately to come together. In Hebrews, we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're encouraged to do that. And yet, as you look at the Word of God, we realize that the relationship of the Christian is always an individual one. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. How do eagles fly? They always fly alone. Eagles never fly in flocks. It says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. It points out the fact that you and I can go moment by moment, day by day, into the very presence of God. You and I are privileged to go right into His presence. It says they shall run and not be weary. It speaks of our service for Him. And though we do it in cooperation with others, it is always an individual service. God sees it that way. On Lord's Day morning, when we come around the table to remember the Lord, one gets up and gives thanks, another gets up and gives out a hymn, another may get up and give a word of exhortation, but every Christian in the room is individually, or should be, offering thanksgiving and praise and worship to the Lord for all of us that have put our trust in Him. We're all priests. We're all holy priests for worship, and we're all royal priests for service. And you see, the choice is ours. God has not asked you and I in this world whether we will accept life. That's not the choice. You and I all have to live life. We don't have a choice about that, but how we live, we do have a choice about that. We take life, and we live it. As we're willing to live it, God has made us free will beings, and He gives us a special blessing of choosing how we will live that life, but He adds to that His spiritual blessings that allow us to live it, it says, in the heavenlies. We're told that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, not with Christ Jesus. Oftentimes you hear people say we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're not seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Someday we'll be seated with Him in heavenly places, seated with Him, but now we're seated in Him. Our blessings are in Christ. He's there. He's our representative. And all of our blessings are wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of each of us. If each of us was living in the heavenlies, then the whole church would be a beautiful manifestation of the truths that's found in this passage. What is the church? I'm sure that all of you know what the church is. The church are the individuals in this room and throughout the world and in heaven who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ since the death of Christ at Calvary's cross. This is not the Spanish Wells Bible Chapel. This is the saints. This is the church at the Spanish Wells Bible Chapel. You see, you and I are the church. Every individual who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of the church. We are the church. This building is not the church. This is the building to which we gather, to which the church gathers, but you and I, we are the church. It's made up of individuals. And so, you see, because that's true, each of us, if the church is going to progress, if souls are going to be saved, if this assembly is going to grow, each of us have to have a revival in our own individual hearts. Many times outside of a church building, you will see revival starting March 5th and going through March 22nd. Well, you can't do that. You see, God gives a revival. You can't announce a revival in beginning because a revival is not souls being saved. That may be the result of a revival. But a revival is the dead in Christ, the Christian who is not operating for the Lord Jesus being revived. The unsaved can't be revived. They're dead. They'd have to have new life. But the Christian can be revived. The saint of God can have his heart so stirred, or heart so stirred, and so warmed by the truths of God's word that they begin to live differently, that they begin to share their blessings. That they begin to do those things which are right, they go to one that they have something against and ask forgiveness. These things begin to happen when there's a revival in our heart. That great man of the gospel years ago, Billy Sunday, was once asked how he started a revival. And he said, I'll tell you how I start a revival. I go up into my bedroom and I take a piece of chalk and I draw a circle on that wooden floor in the middle of the bedroom, and he can get down in the middle of that circle. And I ask the Lord to start a revival in the heart of everyone within that circle. And he said, when that one in that circle's heart is revived, it can begin to be a blessing to others. And each of us need to have our heart revived. We need to practice that. Billy Sunday said, well done is better. Then well said. He said, men may doubt what you say, but they'll never doubt what you do. As the first verse indicated, that you and I are to be faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the last part of our third verse says, He hath blessed us. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It has been suggested that the verse just gets better and better. It says, hath blessed with spiritual blessings, hath blessed with every spiritual blessing, hath blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, hath blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He hath blessed us. It's not something that may be ours. It's not something that God is going to one day do for the saint of God. It's something that He's already done for the saint of God. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Our Lord Jesus is not like the people who sell automobiles and do it on the installment plan. He doesn't give on the installment plan. He has blessed us. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You see, the problem is that you and I don't often appropriate these. People don't realize that we have these spiritual blessings because we don't lay hold on them. It reminded me of this Scotchman who came over some years ago on an ocean liner from England to the United States. And about the fifth day of the 7 days that it took to get over, he was eating every day his crackers and his tea that he made in his room that he had brought along with him. And he said to one of the men there that was standing out beside the rail of the ship, he said, how are the meals here in the ship? And he said, oh my, he said, they're excellent. He said, far better than I ever had at home. He said, excellent meals. He said, how much do they cost? He said, what do you mean how much do they cost? They're a part of your ticket. They're all you have to do is just go in the dining room and eat. And here he'd been eating these crackers for 5 days. And he had the meals all paid for. And you know, many times in life, that's the way it is with you and I, that we have these spiritual blessings, and we're not laying hold on them. And our passage said that there are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's not only the type of blessing we have, but it's where we have them. You see, as you and I, as Christians, go through this world, God has promised to supply all of our physical needs. He's promised to supply our physical needs, but that's not what sets a Christian apart from the unsaved. It isn't that I have my physical needs met. You and I are greatly concerned about that, but that's not what sets me apart as a Christian. What sets me apart is that I have my spiritual needs met. That's what sets me apart as a Christian. The unsaved knows nothing about those things. God has promised to meet the physical needs, but he has also given us these spiritual blessings. Our blessings are not here, they're in heaven, and they're spiritual blessings. Since all spiritual blessings for us are in Christ, and Christ is in heaven, by faith our blessings are there too. Because he lives, we live also, and by faith we become the possessor of all that he has won for us. Think of it. All that the Father God gave to Christ as he walked through this world. All of the joy and all of the comfort and all of the strength and all of the peace. All of these things that God gave to the Son as he walked through this world, as people oppressed him, as the Jews sought to kill him, and as his loved ones deserted him, all of those things, those spiritual blessings, God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us all of those blessings. The nature of the blessing which we have in our risen, glorified Christ in the locality is where he is. Our blessings are in glory. You see, being a saint of God may have its outward physical blessing, but we're speaking this night of the spiritual blessings, of the heavenly blessings. They're just as real. Sonship with Christ, forgiveness from sins, sanctification, these things are all just as real for the saint of God as having our food and our clothing and our house and those things that we need. You see, on earth, you and I may have very little here in this world. We may not be rich in the things of this world. But in heaven, we're blessed. In heaven, we have all spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. And unlike earthly blessings, they do not depend upon our health. They do not depend upon our riches. They do not depend upon our position. They do not depend upon our education. They do not depend upon our nationality or any other earthly thing. Any earthly blessing, they're all heavenly blessings. And in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to remind you too that in life, one of two things are certain. Either we'll live or we'll die. If you live, you need to be in Christ. And if you die, as a Christian, you'll be with Christ. And the Apostle Paul assures us of this in this blessed third verse, where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In reality, all three persons of the Godhead are mentioned in this third verse. God the Father hath blessed us. The blessings are in the Son, Christ Jesus, and the intimation is that they're communicated by the Spirit, for it's the Spirit that puts us in touch with God the Father and God the Son. When you talk about blessings, many times people say, I talked to a man not so long ago, and he said he was waiting for the second blessing. And I said, how could you be waiting for the second blessing? I already have all spiritual blessings. I've had hundreds of blessings in my life. You and I that have known Christ for any length of time, we've had many, many blessings. Maybe not hundreds in every case, but we've had many blessings. But you see, the thing that we have to remember is that we have to lay hold on them. We have to make them ours. God has these blessings for us, but we have to appropriate them. Someone has said that the free will that you and I have as Christians, and I want to just mention something about that a minute. You know, the wonderful thing that God wants for you and I is to want to realize the wonder of free will, that you have a right to choose whether you will accept Christ as your Savior. And then you have a right to choose whether you will enter into the blessings or not. God gives you that right. And the reason God gives you that right, it seems to me, is because God wants those in heaven that really love Him, that have really chosen Him. God could have made you to be like an angel, and you would have had to be in subject to His rules. God could have made you that way. But He chose rather to make you so that you choose Him. He's chosen you, but now you've chosen Him. And God has given us the free will to make decisions about these things. God keeps us from harm and danger, as we know. But He gives us a free will to do this. And someone has said that God's free will is like a do-it-yourself kit. It's like having a blank check from God, and you and I can lay hold on all of the blessings that we want to lay hold on. You remember I mentioned to you on Tuesday evening that God gave the children of Israel the land, but they had to possess the land. He gave it to them. He said, this land is yours. I give you the land. And in that city, there were great cities, walled cities. And you remember there were great farms and great vineyards. And God says you have to possess it. But God says, I've given it to you. And all you have to do is to lay hold on it. And Eliot tells the story so well about the people when they went to go around the city of Jericho, you remember. God said, I've given you the city of Jericho. And Joshua said, well, I've got 600,000 men. I'll go in and take the city. And God said, no, I've given you the city. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get that 600,000 men and line them up. And then I want you to take the priests in there to carry the Ark of the Covenant and their trumpets to blow when they're to go. And then you want all the people to march behind that. And there they went. They all marched around the city. And I'm sure as the people of Jericho, they looked out, they couldn't understand that. And then God said, now the second day, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to march around the city. And they marched around the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. They marched around the city 13 times, an unlucky number for Jericho. God said to him, now I want you to get up early in the morning and I want you to march around the city seven times. Now, if you want soldiers to really be able to fight, that's the thing to do. Just wear them out where they can hardly move and they'll make great soldiers. And God said, see, I want you to understand that the victory is mine and not yours. I'm going to give you the city. And all you have to do is to lay hold on it. All you have to do is walk around the city. And on that seventh time, they shouted and the trumpets blew and the walls fell down. And God has given us all these wonderful spiritual blessings. And he says, all you have to do is lay hold on them. And you and I realize that the key words to our verse are the words in Christ. All that God has for us is in Christ. First, our salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. Really get into him like Noah and his family got into the ark. And God sees us in Christ, and he sees us as being blessed because we're in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he mentions that our object should be to enter into the spiritual blessing. And so you and I have all the spiritual blessings. And we know what some of them are. Love, joy, peace, forgiveness of sin, justification from all things, sanctification in Christ, dressed in his robe of righteousness. We're heirs of Christ and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. When we realize all of these things that we have, we should never feel poor. We should always feel rich in the Lord Jesus. And you see, Paul says that the work has all been done. God has already blessed us. You see, we're seeing it from God's point of view. The road to our ultimate and complete blessing is in his word, and it says that the work has all been done. He says elsewhere that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He says that we have it in these bodies of clay, these bodies with all their limitations, keep us from entering into all the fullness, but God sees it as already done. And by faith we triumph spiritually even as we go through this life. As a saint of God, we have to learn to live with eternity in view. God sees beyond our hopes and disappointments. He sees us in Christ, seated in the heavenlies, and Paul wants us. As he writes this book, by the Spirit, he wants us to see that too. Our blessing is not on our victory, but it's on his victory. We've already been blessed. We may not always enter into it, but the battle has been fought, and we're already victorious. Christ fought the battle at Calvary's cross. And if you're here this evening and you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that the work has been done. Christ has won the battle. Christ has made it possible for you to be blessed. All that he's waiting for, all that God is waiting for is for you to own your need, that he might bring you into blessing. Satan has been defeated. You don't have to defeat Satan. Blessing has already been paid for. And God would have you to come and to enter into the blessing. Nothing that we're talking about here has anything to do with you unless you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. These blessings are for the children of God. And unless you've accepted him as your Savior, you're not a child of God. And you and I that know Christ as our personal Savior, we've been redeemed, but I wonder how many times we don't enter into the spiritual blessing. You remember the story of the prodigal son? You remember that when he came home, his father said to put on him the best robe and said, put a ring on his finger and kill the fatted calf. And he said, we're going to have a feast for this. My son was dead and is alive. And you remember the elder son came to the father and he didn't say, my brother. He said, this thy son. He said, this thy son. He took all these things and he went into the far country and he wasted them and so forth. And he said, all that time I've been right here with you, and you've never given me a feast for me and my friends. You remember the father said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. You see, he never entered into it. He was right there. The father had all the blessings for him. He could have had what he wanted, but he never laid hold on the blessing. You and I, as saints of God, many times we never enter into it. You see, righteousness is ours, and sanctification is ours. I'm set apart to Christ, but the only way I can enter into the blessings is to lay hold on it. And my blessings are in heavenly places. You see, God wants me to live as a heavenly man should live. He wants me to rise above my circumstance. He wants me to be in Christ. He wants me, as suggested in Romans chapter 6,
If you read that lovely little portion there, you find out that you and I, when we're saved, that we're not to go out and sin anymore. Sin's to be put away. God wants us to live as though we belong to a heavenly Father. And He wants us to draw on the resources of heaven. We don't do this in our strength. We do it in His strength. It's in His strength. It's my weakness in His strength. It's thus that I have the power and the desire to live above the things of this world and to be an overcomer. Thus I draw on the resources of heaven. It says we have these things in Christ. Not with Christ, as we suggested before, but in Christ. People love to misquote that, and they say, with Christ. Someday we're going to enjoy these things with Christ, but now we have them in Christ. He's our representative. Dr. Ironside said sometimes when he's in a very special breaking of bread meeting, one will say, we're seated today in Christ. But he said, it's not just when we have that happy glow that comes from a time of gathering, but at all times, even in times of distress, even in times of sorrow, even times of adversity when we cannot understand, we're still seated in heavenly places in Christ. That expression in Christ is truly important. Those two words are found 130 times in the New Testament. We have life in Christ Jesus. Thus, that's where we live our new life. Thus, Christ calls us into a sphere of His life to live while excluding or separating the Christian from outside and hostile influences. You know, it's an amazing thing. I've known a great many people in my life, and I know two people in my lifetime, many others that came close, but two people, my mother and T. Ernest Wilson, that I believe absolutely so lived in Christ that everything else was shut out. They absolutely lived day by day in the knowledge and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget, we said our blessings are in Christ and we should possess our possession. But remember, the blessings are not ours because we earned them. They're not ours because we deserve them, because of our faithfulness. They're ours because God paid for them. God won them for us at Calvary's cross. You remember the Jewish people under the law had their blessings tied up in the keeping of the law. Not so with us. They had to wait for fulfillment of their acts, and not so with us. All ours are due to Him. And they're all in Christ. We don't wait until we're done with this life. We possess what's already been done for us in Him. You know, in life, you and I think of the fact that someday we shall become perfect. We really are already perfect in a new nature. The new nature can't get any better. The new nature, Christ's nature, in which we dwell, cannot get any better. It's already perfect. Unfortunately, we still have that old nature, and that needs a lot of more effort. It's kind of like the self-made man. They say he's an example of unskilled labor that needs a lot of additional construction. Well, that's kind of the way we are because of the old nature. But in the new nature, we're perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, you and I can and should live in the heavenlies. The Bible teaches that man is made to live on the earth. In Psalm 115:16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the children of men." But you see, you and I that have put our trust in Him, we're not the children of men, we're the children of God. And God has made heaven for you and I. We know that when we die, we're taken off this earth. God has devised a plan that although we're no longer able or perhaps even worthy to live in this world, like the thief on the cross, he was judged unworthy to live in this world because of his sins. And yet the Lord said to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." He took him to be with him. And I think of the wonder of that little word, in Christ. In Christ. It should cause us to worship, or you see, it leaves self out. It causes me to be occupied in the place where I am, in this case, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with me. It's not because I'm worthy, but it's because of where I am. I often think of that story of Noah and the ark. And you remember in the story of Noah and the ark, it says that he took his wife and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and they went into the ark. But the Bible only tells us that Noah was righteous. Now, they may have trusted God, but the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say that they were righteous, but they were saved from the physical destruction of the flood. Why? Because they were in the ark. That's why they were saved. It wasn't who they were, it was where they were. Had they refused to get in the ark, they would have been lost. Just like when God told the Israelites to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. And he said, if your son is in the house, he will not be killed when the death angel goes through. If he'd have been outside the house, he'd have been lost just the same. It wasn't who he was, it was where he was. He was in the house. And the hymn writer says, in the beloved accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through his infinite grace with the redeemed ones, accorded a place. In the beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then he sees me in the beloved, accepted and free. You see, you and I, when we're in the beloved, it means that we're eternally saved. Dear unsaved friend, if you've never put your trust in Christ, if you put your trust in him tonight, you'll be saved for time and eternity. You'll never be able to be lost. Romans 8 says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So since I'm in him and safe, then it also means that we should be happy and comfortable. Now in the times of stress and trouble, we should be peaceful knowing that we're in him. It has been said that you and I are in the heavenlies when saved because that's where he is and it's immediate. You and I don't grow worthy over the years to have the spiritual blessings. We're there immediately as we appropriate him. I think sometimes of our son-in-law that's married to our oldest daughter. He was saved when he was 19 years of age. He was raised in the assembly. He had made a profession of faith in the Lord when he was younger. But you know, the day he got saved, I just couldn't believe the difference in his life. There was a big change in his appearance. There was a big change in his attitude. And it was a wonderful thing to see. And I thought, it's like a mirror. It never reflects more than we put into it. And as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ and realized it was truly in him, he began to manifest the things that he knew concerning Christ. Things he had learned before he knew Christ as his personal Savior. And so it is with us. People know that you have been, and I have been saved, just like the man who was lowered through the roof. And the Lord said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they said, how can he say thy sins be forgiven thee? And the Lord says, is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee, or to rise up and walk? And so he said to this man, so that they might know, rise up and walk. And he got up, and he walked. And you and I that know Christ, that know Christ is dwelling in us. We're seated with him. We have all blessings in him. We're not yet seated with him in glory. We're seated in him. We're seated in him in a very real way. And how accurate the word of God is. And may you and I lay hold on the wonder of the truth. That because of the work of Christ, you and I are seated in him with all spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's ours. That's our blessing if we put our trust in him. May God help us to lay hold on it and thus be a blessing to those round about until we hear that welcome shout. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of again looking into Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for Thy Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God and Father, that Thy Spirit would seek to teach us the things concerning Him. We know, our God, that as we read these things, it seems almost impossible for us to understand. We know how hard it is to realize that as we walk about in this world, at the same time, we're truly seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have all those spiritual blessings that have all been bought and paid for. That God has, God the Father has been willing to give us in Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray, our God, that as we contemplate these things, that Thy Spirit may make them very real to us. That in these days when things look so dark, may we realize that although we have to go through this world, heaven is our home. And may we live in the anticipation of the fact that one day, and it could be very soon, we're going to hear that welcome shout and be called away into Thy presence. With that in view, our God and Father, we would ask that should there be one here who's never put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, may they realize their tremendous need. May they realize the fact that the work has all been done and that salvation is a gift by faith, by simply taking the truth that Thy Word tells us that one needs to be saved, and then simply saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, that Thou wilt save them. Thou hast promised that him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We ask our God and Father, Thou would bless everyone in this room. We would again mention those that have been mentioned for prayer. We mention each of the items. We place them again before Thee and ask that Thou would consider them. We ask our God and Father for the sick, particularly those that are way out in the seas. We commend them into Thy care. And now we ask that Thou would part us with Thy blessing, meet the needs of everyone in this particular room. Pray that Thou would give us a good night of rest. Take us to our homes in safety and bless us on the morrow. We ask as we give Thee thanks in His worthy and precious name. Amen.